World Sport from the BBC with Seth Bennett. Coming up, Australia's cricketers celebrate an innings victory over New Zealand at the Gabba.
Bracewell right arm over. Warner pulls him down to long on for four, and that's the end of the test match. Australia win by 9 wickets before tea on the fourth day.
Manchester United's Hernandez to miss crucial Champions League tie, and Miguel Cotto exacts revenge on Antonio Margherito in New York. Good morning. We'll start with football, and Sir Alex Ferguson says the Premier League champions Manchester United are having a torrid time with injuries as he confirmed that Mexico striker Javier Hernandez could be out for a month with an ankle injury. Hernandez had to be stretchered off during their 1-0 victory at Aston Villa, a blow ahead of their Champions League game against Basel on Wednesday.
But we think it's torn ligaments in the ankle, which was a bad blow for us, and it'll keep him out for a month anyway. So we're in a bit of a time with injuries at the moment, and it's just as well we've got a strong squad. So Danny Welbeck come back today, played for 15 minutes and did very well. So that's an option for me for Wednesday.
Chelsea's Ivory Coast striker Didier Drogba feels they're finally moving in the right direction after they went fourth in the table with a 3-0 win at Newcastle. The result eases the pressure on under-fire manager André Villas-Boas, who accepted transfer requests from French forward Nicolas Anelka and Brazilian defender Alex after the match. Drogba described the club's recent poor run of form as a crisis.
We've been struggling. And that's part of the game, you know. You cannot be fresh and win every game. We've been struggling, and I hope that that's the end of our crisis. A win away against Newcastle was a very, very good team. I think it's good for our confidence, and it's also good for, to prepare the Champions League game against Valencia.
Arsene Wenger insists there is still room for improvement after his Arsenal side extended their recent revival with a 4-0 victory over Wigan. Robin van Persie scored his 14th league goal as Arsenal moved up to 5th in the Premier League with their 6th win in 7 games. And Wenger says 5th in the Premier League with their 6th win in 7 games. And Wenger says they've come a long way since the start of the season.
Well, if you look at our run, you can say that we are consistent, you know, we are in the Champions League. We have we are unbeaten until now, and we have now 7 games, I think, or 6 games in the Premier League, where we have a good run. So the team is, if you've seen the team at the start of the season and now, I think there is a difference, and we have still some room for improvement.
Martin O'Neill will watch Sunderland for the first time as the club's new manager later when they play Wolves at Molineux. O'Neill's appointment was confirmed on Saturday, and he takes over from Steve Bruce on a 3-year contract. The Wolves manager Mick McCarthy is expecting a reaction from the opposition.
All we can deal with is the one in front of us, and that's Sunderland. And that's been made maybe slightly tougher because of circumstances at Sunderland. Steve going, Steve losing his job. You know, if normal services resume, there's generally a response, and if Martin O'Neill sat in the stand, well, I think they'll be running around like scalded cats trying to impress him.
Everton entertained Stoke at Goodison Park in the day's other match. Because of their Europa League commitment, Stoke have now played 9 games more than their host this season, and the Everton manager David Moyes says the way they've handled the busy schedule is impressive.
I've got to congratulate Stoke City and going unbeaten in Europe in the group they had at the moment. It's been terrific, because I know exactly what it's like in Europe. The games are tough. But I think that what a lot of the new teams when you go into Europe, they found it difficult when they've come back from the games to get results. And sometimes, you know, that you do everything. You try and prepare the players right. You rest a lot of them. But psychologically, sometimes it's a difficult hurdle to go over. And we found that a little bit as well in Europe. And it looks like Stoke have had a little bit of that. But they've done a great job in getting through. And, you know, they look as if they're really enjoying it.
And just a reminder, Sunderland versus Wolves will be our live commentary game in Sunday Sports World here on the BBC.
Sunderland were the first Premier League club to sack their manager this season, but will the decision to dismiss Steve Bruce bring instant results? Well, we'll have live commentary from their trip to fellow strugglers Wolves, with Martin O'Neill ready to return to management. But should clubs stick or twist to achieve success? We'll look at the pressures on managers and his reaction to all the weekend's action on the Football Forum. That's all with me, Lee James, from 16 Hours GMT.
The former Brazil captain Socrates is in a critical condition in hospital. The midfielder, who played at two World Cups in the 1980s, was taken into intensive care on Friday with intestinal infection. Our Brazilian football reporter Tim Vickery has been following the story.
He was in for 8 days in August and 16 days in September with a digestive hemorrhage caused by years of alcohol abuse. And he's now back with an intestinal problem, damage to his kidneys. He's on dialysis. He's unconscious. His situation is described as grave, although there are reports that he's reacted to antibiotics. But the best case scenario is that he's going to be under observation over the next 72 hours.
Of course, he was the Brazilian star of the 1982 and 86 World Cups, if I remember.
That's right, yes. He's someone who took to football late as a full-time professional, because he trained as a doctor first. He's a medical man, which makes it perhaps all the more ironic that his lifestyle has been so unhealthy, which he himself confessed when he was released from hospital in September. He said, "That's it between me and alcohol." I'm fervently hoping that he pulls through from this latest crisis.
Australia's cricketers have beaten New Zealand by 9 wickets to win the first test in Brisbane before tea on day 4. Fast bowler James Pattinson took 5 for 27, including a 3-wicket maiden, as the tourists collapsed to 150 all out in their second innings. It took Australia just 12 minutes to chase the 19 required runs. From the Gabba, Jim Maxwell reports.
James Pattinson wrecked New Zealand's innings with a stunning display of full-length swing bowling. He took 3 wickets in his first over of the day, and New Zealand slumped to 5 for 28. Pattinson grabbed 5 wickets in 21 deliveries and was the man of the match with 5 for 27. New Zealand staggered to 150, with Brownlee top scoring on 42. Australia won by 9 wickets with a day and a half to spare. New Zealand's poor batting and missed catches proved costly, and Australia have found another strike bowler in 21-year-old James Pattinson.
Let's turn to tennis now on the BBC World Service, and Argentina will attempt to become the first team in 72 years to win a Davis Cup title from 2-0 down after David Nalbandian and Eduardo Schwank won Saturday's doubles against Feliciano Lopez and Fernando Verdasco of Spain. Spain still lead 2-1 going into the reverse singles, and our reporter from Seville, Chris Bowers, says they still are the overwhelming favourites.
In theory, the final day of the tennis year should last no more than about 2.5 hours. With the best will in the world, it's hard to see Juan Martín del Potro beating Rafael Nadal. In fact, it's hard to see the Argentinian winning a set against the man who's still the king of clay, whatever tiredness he may have admitted to in London last week. But this is team tennis, where players represent their country and rankings can go out of the window. And with Del Potro, a tall man who's less likely to be bothered by Nadal's intense topspin than shorter players, it's not impossible he could catch the great Spaniard off guard at the end of a long season. If that happens, everyone here in Seville expects David Nalbandian, who is the architect of Argentina's doubles win that keeps this final alive, to come in to play the world number 5 David Ferrer in a match that would form a fitting climax to the 2011 tennis season.
In golf, Zach Johnson holed an eagle at the 18th to take a one-shot lead over Tiger Woods going into the final round of the Chevron World Challenge. The former Masters champion Johnson lies 8 under par. South Korea's KJ Choi is third on 5 under after a level par round of 72. Elsewhere, the world number 2, Rory McIlroy, has won the Hong Kong Open. He shot a closing round of 65 to finish 12 under par, 2 shots ahead of Gregory Havre. And just finally, some boxing. Puerto Rico's Miguel Cotto has avenged his controversial loss to Antonio Margarito. Those two met at Madison Square Garden last night, the referee stopping the fight at the start.